welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 467. My name is James Gilmore, and joining me today, returning from his international adventures, is Rick Cowley.
Woo! Hello.
Hey, buddy. How was Dubai?
It was really weird. It's just a really weird place.
Explain. You mentioned to me it was like London, but like really hot instead of really grey and wet.
Yeah, it's really westernized. All the signs are in Arabic and English.
Oh.
The first thing I saw coming out of the airport was an IKEA. And then the next thing was like a Hard Rock Cafe with an M&S next door. Waitrose is apparently the biggest supermarket they have in their world famous Dubai Mall. Like, it's just all the really weird English things you'd see, but in a really hot country.
I also like the fact it's the slightly more expensive end of the English stuff. If you're not the UK, any of you listeners, we've got like our Tesco and our Asda, and Asda is an extension of Walmart for you guys to do the translation. Waitrose, that's at the slightly classier end of the spectrum. That's where all the grandmas shop and buy their special sugar that's better than all the rest of the sugar because it's from Waitrose. And the same with Marks and Spencer's. But that's quite an international brand. I see that in Europe, but I wasn't necessarily expecting to see it in Dubai.
Yeah, it was a very strange thing. And there was a kind of a beautiful moment. We were set in the bar at one of the hotels and beautiful view of all the things at night and a fountain show right next door. And then I looked just beyond and there was a Nando's just nestled away.
Oh, mate. Can't escape the brands, can you?
It was magnificent.
You should probably say that you were over there on a worky, video gamey business. It wasn't just a jolly.
No, I was watching the PUBG Mobile Star Challenge finals held in Dubai. $402,000 prize pool split between 20 teams. They all got $1,000 just for showing up. And the winners walked away with $200,000.
That's all right, I suppose.
Four teenagers from Thailand.
What was the vibe like there? Because you were watching it live. Was it a kind of a smaller arena thing?
It was huge. Huge. Because obviously it's Tencent, and Tencent make $2.3 billion a quarter. They were throwing money at it. So there was this huge room, and then they had all the teams in these containers. They were stacked on top of each other.
Teams in containers.
Like shipping containers, and they'd cut the fronts out so you could see in, and they're all there at their desks with their Samsung Galaxy Note 9s. Because the show was sponsored by Samsung Galaxy Note 9. And they're all stacked on top of each other, and it was like watching University Challenge.
Oh, wow.
With like 20 teams at once. It was really bizarre. And then there was a huge stage. They opened the whole weekend with like an interpretive dance number about PUBG with literally 100 dancers on stage and only one survives kind of thing.
Were they all just flossing?
That's Fortnite.
That's what they do in these things. Fortnite. Oh, God. I don't
say Fortnite.
Getting my memes wrong. I bet it was a dirty word over there, I suppose.
So they were handing out t-shirts, and there was a thing where if you went around this certain stand and did certain tasks, you would pick up 5 stickers, and you can trade in those 5 stickers to have your name printed on your shirt.
Wow.
And one of the guys I was with, we all skipped the queue because we were all press and you get certain privileges with that press pass. And one of the guys I was with, Louis P of Savvy Gamer, just went up, straight up and went, "Oh, can I get Fortnite written on my t-shirt?"
Oh,
and he just put it straight on as soon as they finished printing it. And someone turned around and went, "Fortnite?" And he was like, "Yeah." And you see, we were really, really angry.
That's what counts as counterculture in an environment like that. Well, it sounds like you had fun. It sounds interesting at the very least. I'm sure you can read about it on PG itself if you're
you
interested.
You can. There's already one diary up there. I still have another couple to go up. But there's a fascinating story about all the crazy happenings on day 3. Which I would highly recommend keeping an eye out for. I won't spoil the details here, but let's just say there's a massive technical fault and it takes an army of people to make it more enjoyable for people who are sat there doing nothing for 2.5 hours.
Oh, my. Well, I went to London, the Dubai of Britain, because we had a Pocket Gamer event up there and they needed someone to film one of the panels that we were doing. I think it was probably slightly less glittery and exciting, but there was tinsel. So, you know, a bit of sparkle was involved. But enough of our jaunts. What are we going to be talking about this week on the show? We have got news about the impending arrival of Gone Home on mobile devices. We've got news about Pokemon Go trainer battles, which is something that Rick is maybe not such a big fan of. We've got the arrival of Tropico coming to devices very soon. Plus, reviews, including the likes of Command & Conquer Rivals. We've got access to Twinfold. We've got 7 Billion Humans, The Butterfly's Dream, and more. But first, the news. Gone Home came out in 2013 and for me was one of the first of the inverted commas walking sims to really catch the headlines and actually do the genre proud. A genre that previously didn't really exist beyond games like, what was the very first one where you're just walking by rocks? Dear Esther.
Yeah,
that one, which I didn't take to. This is the one where I went, oh, maybe there's something to this genre, because I think it's actually a very interesting story, well told, a short thing that gets its point across and deals with inverted commas issues, but in a slightly creepy and unusual and genuinely or kind of organic way. It is going to be coming to iOS in 7 days' time. Yeah, it's out next week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Six, yeah, which is fantastic news just because this can work really well on an iPad or an iPhone because you don't have anything like combat mechanics to worry about. You don't have much to do beyond wandering around this house that you've returned home to. You are a girl who's gone away to college, I think, and then she comes back home and she expects to find her family there, but there's nobody there. And it's that slightly weird... I thought it was going to be like a horror game when I started playing it. It has these strange, creepy undertones to it. And I thought it was suddenly going to go supernatural. I won't spoil where it does go, but it had a lovely, eerie feeling. You unravel the story by going in and investigating your dad's study and looking at the notes he's writing and going to the kitchen. You have to just explore the house to find out what the hell's happened, where is everybody, and what's going on. It really got me. I was a big fan of it. And I know it's done very well on all the consoles, but for me, because it's so simple to just wander around and interact with stuff, I don't see there being any problem with this port. You're not going to miss having like a keyboard with 28 buttons on it, you know?
No. I can imagine the floaty... It'll probably end up with like a virtual joystick type scenario, which isn't ideal. It'd be cool. I was just thinking then, like, how would I improve the movement for iPad? And if you could like jump to certain points on the floor kind of thing, maybe that would work. But I don't know. I think they'll probably stick to the tried and true floaty joystick type thing. But no, it's a really good game. And as you say, it's well suited to the platform because there isn't that much you need to do to get things going. And it is a really interesting sort of... The thing that it kind of expanded on in the walking sim genre is that it introduced picking up items and looking at things and working out the story from there rather than just sort of being in an environment and a story being said at you.
Yes.
There's still a bit of that, but it's also about what you uncover through your own exploration, and there's the hidden sub-stories underneath like the main thing that you're uncovering as you go through, which is really interesting.
It's very easy to miss stuff. You don't have to complete the game by literally pressing every single button. You can go through and miss entire subplots of what's happening just because you didn't open a particular drawer, you didn't look in a certain area. And it doesn't affect it. It just means that it makes the thing feel a little bit more tangible and real and makes you feel quite fallible. But yeah, I highly recommend it. I don't know if we have a price yet. I can't see one listed. It is available for pre-order.
$5?
Let's have a look. I am pulling it up now. Yes, £4.99, $4.99, which I think is fair for this one. It is going to be short, and you know, you've probably all read reviews about it at this point, but if for some reason you haven't played it, I'm hoping that this port will be a great way to get involved with it on mobile. So Gone Home next week. Also, Tropico is coming to iPad. Now, it's going to be a couple of weeks for this one. December the 18th is when this is arriving. And this is it's kind of a dictator simulator, isn't it?
Yeah. I've not really got much experience with Tropico. I think I played a demo of Tropico 3 on Xbox 360 a long time ago. Okay. But yeah, it's like a city sim, but you're a dictator and you're not really building the city, you're just kind of managing it, I guess.
Yeah, well, you're on an island and the idea is you're trying to, you know, revolutionize the island. My shorthand for it was always that it was like The Sims for dicks, or like, you know, the city builder game for dicks. But really, The Sims is The Sims for dicks. Because all anyone ever does with those games is like build uncomfortable situations for their Sims, and then, you know, lock them out of the bathroom. That's what they do in The Sims. I've seen them. So, but this one lets you be a kind of dictator, and it's got a slight sense of humor and all that kind of business. I've only ever played one of them, but it's going to be coming out. This one's more expensive and only available on the one platform, so it's iPad only at the minute. You can pre-order it. It's £11.99 or $11.99, which obviously a little bit more expensive. And I don't know what iPads will be able to run it, because I think it might take a little bit of juice in order to get it going properly. I don't know which version of Tropico it is, whether it's like sequel or whether it's a mobile specific one, but I think it's just a port. I get the impression. Either way, we'll have more news once we get our hands on it, but keep your eyes peeled for that if you are interested. Now, Pokemon Go back in the news once again, because they've added a mode that they've been talking about doing for ages, which is trainer mode, allowing you the ability to battle head to head with other trainers. So it's like a social feature. You can go head to head with folks in inverted commas fast paced fights. You create a custom battle party consisting of 3 Pokemon. You get a new charge attack and protect shield mechanic. And then you just basically find other people and go, right, let's have it. Trainer v trainer. I've not played this, but you went to Pokemon HQ or wherever it was and got hands on with this, didn't you?
Yes. I don't like it very much.
Oh.
So the core mechanic is fine, because I never actually did any gym battles in Pokemon Go, because I bounced off it before I got to a high enough level and just didn't have anywhere near me that I could do it. Okay. But the sort of the core battle mechanic there, I believe, is the same. So you have a Pokemon versus Pokemon, you go tap, 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 tap to do damage, and then you hit the charge attack to then unleash a bigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got the elements, so you'll need to balance, you know, water against fire and grass against water and all that sort of nonsense.
The rock, paper, scissors business.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got the charge attacks. As you say, it's got protect shield, which you can only use twice per battle, but they significantly reduce damage against your thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's sort of, it's fine. It was, the connection we had was really dodgy, because we were like in an underground bar type thing, which was not a good place to host a thing with Wi-Fi that apparently wasn't in the room.
With an online-only game.
Yeah, so I was kind of sat next to somebody else, and we were having a battle, and then he'd drop out, and then I'd drop out, and then we'd have to reload and then drop out again, and there was loads of visual bugs and stuff like that, and I was like, oh, this really needs working on before it goes live, like, Yeesh. Next week. Because they said like early December is when it's going to go live, and I'm like, are you sure? Because this could do with at least another month in development, I reckon.
Ooh.
My other problem with it, and this is probably just me because everyone seemed to give me funny looks when I asked the question, was to actually battle somebody. You can battle online against friends, but only if they're best friends or ultra friends. So you have to have had a number of different interactions with them before, send them a load of gifts and that kind of thing.
Ultra friends.
I know, yeah.
That's so needy.
Or you can battle gym leaders, and they are in-game AI. Okay. Which is what I ended up playing most of, because it was the least buggy of the bunch. And that was fine. It's just sort of a practice mode, and it gives you rewards for going up against them, so it gets you used to playing against other people. If you want to play against strangers, you have to physically go up to them and then scan their battle code QR thing while you're both in-game.
Oh, so you have to, like, wipe your phone over their phone?
Yeah. But, like, you have to, like, stand over them, get the camera in the right position. This was also a bit of a farce, getting this to work. Scan the thing with your camera, QR style, and then you'll both go into a battle, rather than being able to do it any other way.
Right.
The reason they've designed it this way is because they're envisioning it more for, like, local tournaments and stuff, and for the Pokemon Go Fest. So they're thinking of having hundreds of people together in one place who all know that they're going to be playing Pokemon Go and all know they want to play Pokemon Go against other people, and can therefore go up to each other and scan the thing and play the game and don't mind, like, anything else like that. So you're not going to pop up on other people's radar. Like, you're not going to see other trainers on your screen. You'll still only see Pokemon.
Right.
And there's no sort of way of knowing that somebody nearby is playing Pokemon Go.
So it's kind of keeping you off the Wi-Fi or the Bluetooth or any networks, and it's just physical connection. They're trying to do that socially. You have to go up to someone and say, hey, do you want to play with the Pokemons? And
yes.
Then scan each other in.
My problem with that is what stops somebody going up to you saying, hey, let's play Pokemon Go. You go, yeah, sure. You get your phone out, they punch you in the face and nick your phone. Like, and I pose
Rick, worst case scenario, Cowley.
I know, and I know that's stupid, but like, the whole system's kind of been designed with in mind of Pokemon Go players aren't gonna do that. And I posed the question to the developers, and I was like, I know it's a weird question, but what is in place to stop that? And their answer was just, oh, well, we've not designed it for that to happen. We've not designed it for people to go up to other people on the street, like strangers, in a random scenario and ask each other if they want to play Pokemon Go. But there's nothing like to actually stop you from doing that. There's no sort of extra step that you have to go through. It's literally just you press a button, and then you can scan someone else's battle code.
So I see what you mean, because it does open you up slightly to a vulnerability, and if people are going to be uncomfortable with that, they are, by definition, limiting themselves to be like, well, I'm not going to just approach a random and stick my phone in their face, because that is weird, so clearly I'm only going to be doing this with people I know and trust.
Yeah, so it's like, for me, personally, as someone with kind of moderate anxiety, I don't want to go up to other people and talk to them and say, oh, can we play this game together, and then scan their thing and be so close to that other person that I have to, like, physically just, like, rub shoulders with them to scan their thing. Because I'm the kind of person who then thinks, what happens if they punch me in the face and steal my phone?
Well, I guess then it turns it into more like the Switch couch co-op multiplayer experience, whereby, you know, you can play Switch games with 2 to 4 players, but they need to be in your house and your room. Ergo, they're probably your mates, so they're the only people you're gonna be playing with. And I guess this is also doing that. But I understand what you mean. Like, if you have a very, very trusting person, for example, that could turn bad.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to, like, make some sort of tabloid journalism sensationalism about it. It's just a concern that I had, and I know that that's stemmed from, you know, mental health problems, and that will affect other people who also don't want to go up to other people and have to have this conversation and do this whole thing. And it is just going to end up being a thing that you only do around people you trust, and I feel like that restricts, it's not really in keeping with what Pokemon Go battles were supposed to be, which is random people all over the world just fighting each other.
I assume this is a real-time combat thing.
Yeah.
This isn't some sort of, like, you play their ghost and their preset little squad.
No, this is a real-time, and you can switch in the Pokemon and stuff, and there are actual tactics going on and stuff like that. So you do need to be there in the present to get it working.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's something they can add after the fact. Like,
they have said they're going to keep developing the system, because this is very much just a starting block, and then they're going to start adding more things. I think they were sort of teasing that they were going to be adding more AI trainers to fight against, and they are looking at how to expand the system and grow it and stuff like that. So there is an opportunity for them to add in sort of global battles and stuff like that, which has been proven to work on other mobile games, because, you know, Clash Royale set all that off when everybody before was saying you can't do real-time multiplayer, and now we can. So there is a possibility of it happening, and I think it would work great that way. I just feel, in this current form, I'm not so sure that it's such a good idea. But again, that's entirely just me. Everybody else who was at the event seemed to think it was great, and I was the only insane person there who immediately
he was looking
around,
everyone going, don't touch me.
Yeah, don't touch me, don't steal my phone. I've just been handed this, I don't want to break it.
Fair enough. They said early December, so it should be out sometime within the next week or so, I'd say at least. Sticking with the Pokemon Company for just a moment, apparently they are currently in the process of gearing up for a new unlisted Pokemon game. This has been leaked via Game Informer, I think, via a job listing on LinkedIn, saying that apparently it's going to be the first Pokemon Company developed title to use the engine since the tablet-only Pokemon trading card game, the TCG that came out a couple of years ago now.
That claim is a load of nonsense.
Oh, really? How so?
Yes. Pokemon Company makes all their 3D games in 3D mobile games in Unity. That's not a new thing. Pokemon Quest was made in Unity. And if they're claiming that all Pokemon games on mobile, there's only one ever made in Unity, Pokemon Go was made in Unity. It was a big selling point for Unity at the time.
Yeah.
So it's a load of nonsense that there's only been one Pokemon game ever made in Unity, and therefore it'll probably be a sequel because it's being made in the same engine.
I'm going straight to the right to reply page on Game Informer. Well, actually, I think you'll find.
Well, I mean, I know I sound pedantic and stuff.
No, no, but, you're perfectly right.
But the problem is that I've seen a lot of other websites report the same thing. And no one's really kind of, you know, you do a quick Google of Pokemon Quest Engine and the first thing it says is Unity. Like, it's not difficult to find out these things.
That's good.
Not to slam on anyone who writes a Game Informer. I don't want, you know, I just want all of us to be better. I don't think you're bad. It's very easy to find these things and, you know, you find an angle and you go, right, I'm going to do this. But I honestly think, like, it could well be a new trading card game thing. It could be a sequel to that. I think Pokemon Company will easily find anything else to do, because if you look at their weird plethora of games from like Pokemon Shuffle to Magikarp Jump to Pokemon Quest, they will try their hand at anything and shove Pokemon in it. So we could be seeing literally anything. But it's just a nice narrative to say that it's going to be.
And in our defense, see, our version of the story written by Cameron does actually say we're almost certain that the Pokemon Company uses Unity for everything. But, you know, that's the rumor. So we're on the right side of history here. Oh, yes.
And I wrote that sentence.
Oh, did you? You inserted that in. Going, you've already got your right triple. I'm copy-pasting this right now and I'm emailing it straight over. There we go. Lovely. All right, well, so keep your eyes peeled for yet more Pokemon business on mobile. But, I mean, with the ridiculous success of Pokemon Go, it's no surprise at all that they're already going, right, what else can we put out here on phones, get it in everyone's face. So we'll let you know when we know more. Out and about this week. I'm sort of catching up on this slightly because I was away in London when it came out. But it's only been out for a day or two, I think. Command & Conquer Rivals hit the App Store after being in soft launch for quite a bit, though it was only available in a couple of territories. It was in Canada and then North America for a bit. But we didn't get it over here till just this week in the UK. I've played it a bit yesterday and I've been playing it all morning as well. The video review's gone up, our review went up. Did you get your hands on this one?
I had a quick go on it earlier today and it's actually really good.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of people getting very cross, and this was one of those trailers that came up and everyone went to YouTube and went, new Command & Conquer game! And then it said mobile at the end and everyone immediately hit downvote, which is, I know, I get it, but it's a bit of a shame because if they did just go, right, we're going to port Command & Conquer, you know, the original one, like all Red Alert or Tiberium Sun or any of those old ones, they do work, those games, on touchscreens, especially on an iPad, but, you know, there's so many troops and so small and fiddly and, you know, that you can play those Rome games on iPad, and again, they totally work. But at the same time, they are a bit small and fiddly, and you do kind of wish maybe a bigger screen or a mouse or something like that. This is designed for mobile, which is always the thing that we want to see with games. Don't just sling a PC game onto touchscreen and expect it to immediately work. So what they've done is they've taken the universe. You've still got your base. You've still got your Tiberium Harvester there. You've got your little tanks and your troops, and you've got to build the barracks to get the troops out. And that familiar Command & Conquer stuff is all there. But the game itself, rather than just trundling across a map and trying to smash your opponent, it's kind of a capture the flag thing, or rather the capture the base area bit. So you've got three pads, I suppose, launch pads, that are in the middle of the map. The idea is to capture two or three of those pads. If you own more than 50% and you're sitting on the central pad, then a little bar will start to creep up. When that bar is full, a rocket will launch out of the center of the map and it will smash into your opponent's base, providing it's you that owns two of the three territories. The idea is that two of those rocket strikes will annihilate your opponent. Now, you can lose control of those two pads at any given moment. If your opponent trundles across the map and smashes you off of one, suddenly you've only got control of one, they've got control of two. Now, the timer is ticking up in their favor. The neat thing is, the timer doesn't go back to zero when you lose control and your enemy gains control. It just carries on ticking up, but the colors change from blue to red. So you can sit there and charge it up for like a minute, and then at the last second, you can lose control of it. The enemy gains it, and then it just goes bing, and the rocket immediately launches into your face.
Yep.
Which is deliciously brutal.
It's happened to me many times, and it's like, damn, fair enough, well done.
Yeah, it's super cruel. So it's a little bit Clash Royale in that it's much more small scale and that it's very quick, and you know, the play sessions will only last like 3 or 5 minutes or something. And in that sense, it's been tailored for mobile in the way that you would hope. It's got a bit more Command & Conquer flavor in it, though, because unlike something like Clash Royale, where you just drop your dudes onto the field of battle, and then they just trundle up, and from that point onwards, they're autonomous. You can't do anything to them. Here, you can still control all your troops in real time. You tap on your tank, and you tap on where you want it to go or who you want it to attack, and you can stop and change their direction and move them around the map at any given moment. So it becomes about tactically moving your dudes between pads, working out what your enemy is spawning, picking the right type of troop to attack them, because there are strengths and weaknesses. They've got the rock, paper, scissors thing, where if infantrymen who fire machine guns are good against other infantrymen. If you've got a tank or a Humvee coming at you, then you want rocket launchers. They're strong against them. Then you've got aerial craft, so you unlock the older hover helicopter things where, you know, they're invulnerable from ground attack from some things. And so there's all that still going on. There's no energy system, so you can play as much as you like. But it has got the card unlock system where, you know, win cards from battles and you unlock troops and level them up and all that stuff. And there are timers on the crates. So that sense, that's very Clash Royale. But it's just a little bit more involved. Yeah, surprised that I liked this quite a lot. Mm. And I think people are going to dismiss it and not play it properly.
Yeah, I agree, actually, because people are going to look at it and go, oh, well, it's not real Command & Conquer, so I'm not going to play it. But actually, it's a very good version of Command & Conquer made specifically for mobile. And because of that, it works really well. And it looks great. It plays great. It's fast. It's interesting. Like as you were saying, there's loads of different tactics you can do, and you can move people and you can flank people and you can use special moves, like drop in a minigun type thing in the middle of the thing to destroy opponents. Yeah. And it's like, that's really cool. And I really like the different ways that it takes you through things and just the different things.
You still got those extra layers.
It wasn't a great description, but yeah, there's a lot of
layers. You like the things.
I like the things in the game that we're talking about. It's good.
You got a few extra layers here, which you don't have in something like Clash Royale, where you don't just drop a troop straight onto the pitch and off they go. You have to build a barracks in order to build your infantrymen. You have to build a war base in order to start making machines. And then later on, when you start getting things like mobile troopers and like mechs and stuff, you have to build separate bases in order to build them. So, and again, that's very Command & Conquer. That's classic. You have to build the building, the structure, in order to start making that particular resource, that troop. And all the while, your little Tiberium harvesters running around grabbing Tiberium from the map. You don't even have to make one of those, by the way. You can just leave it. That's an option. So there's a lot of tactics in terms of what you choose to launch first, whether you build your barracks, then send out a harvester, then build an infantryman, or you start out by building a few forces, then start bolstering your Tiberium. So there's a lot more going on there than might initially appear. Liked it. It's not without flaws. I'm sure that the gating kicks in a bit hard. I've played it for hours now, so I'm most of the way through the second stage of fights. So it goes from the kind of sandy world into ice world, and I'm basically at the end of that one, and I haven't been paywalled out of it yet. It's pretty good with the matchmaking. You know, I've lost a couple. I've won one more than I've lost, but it's been enough for me to progress. I am sure that if I played it solidly for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, it would start to level off in terms of how much progress I'm making and maybe be encouraging me a bit more to buy some stuff. But it's not doing the horrible, hey, do you want to buy this right now? Give it a try is what we would say. Harry gave it 8 out of 10. I feel similarly about it. I think it is decent. But make up your own mind. Don't just go, oh, it's going to be rubbish mobile sucks, and switch it off. But then, if you're listening to this, you're probably not one of those people. You're good.
if you've made it this far, you probably have already played the game.
You're level-headed, enlightened, open-minded people whom we love and would like to touch inappropriately. So go and have a go with Command & Conquer Rivals if you feel like it. 7 billion humans. That's a thing I tried this morning.
What a weird game.
Odd, isn't it?
Yeah. So I believe it's a sequel to Human Resource Machine.
Is it because they did Little Inferno as well?
Yeah.
Did they do Human Resource Machine?
They did Human Resource Machine as well, and I believe this is like a direct sequel to it.
Right. So this is kind of great, and it asks a lot of you quite quickly, which I really like. So the conceit is, the way that they set up the world is, the world's been basically overtaken by robots, not in the we're conquering the world sort of way, but all of our jobs have been replaced by robots doing our jobs. Now there's nothing for us to do. And so what they've done is they put you in charge of this office space with a bunch of people inside it, and you have to tell them what to do. However, the kind of satire of it all is, the way that you tell your workforce what to do is not by giving them sort of normal commands. It's by inputting specific commands in an order as if you're like programming, as if you're doing a 20 go to 10 line. So you're given a limited number of commands for each level. So you'll have like maybe a walk option. You'll have a pick up. You might have a jump, which doesn't mean jump, or push or something like that. And then the idea is you need to put them in the right order. So you'll have like one person standing in front of a box, and the guy tells you, right, go and get him to pick up that box and bring it 2 steps closer. Yeah, okay. So you need to grab the step command and drag it into your little column, which is on the right-hand side. And then you need to choose the direction in which they step. So you'll get a little cube, choose 8 directions. So you want to step down, select that. Then you choose pick up as the next command, drag it in underneath the step command. Then you drag in 2 more step commands to walk those 2 steps afterwards. And then you press play. And then the game will play out the little column of actions that you've stacked up. So your guy will walk forward 1 step, it'll pick it up, and then it'll walk forward 2 more steps, and then boom, you've completed that level. That then starts to get much more complicated when there are several people and you're all asking them to do perhaps the same command, maybe to ask them to do different things. And they all start to require different commands. Like, rather than everybody being able to walk left, for example, some people might need to walk right. That's when you need to start doing a, if person does this, then this. If person cannot do this, then do this. And that's where it starts getting into, like, you're basically doing machine programming, but with little people in game form. It's, I think it's, I'm going to be playing more of this, definitely, because I was immediately like, ooh, it makes you feel clever when you get it right.
Yeah. But it's simple enough that it's not completely overwhelming.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of, there is a very basic programming language environment called Scratch. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing. You have blocks of commands and you drop in the blocks and then you can like trigger them in different ways. And you can do very simple things in it. But it's the first thing I learned in like first year computer science during my degree. And it's like the first thing they made us do is make some really simple stuff in Scratch. So it feels like I'm doing that, except with like a better, an actual like game behind it, and you're getting sort of drip fed rewards, and there's a really good tutorial to it as well, which I really like the tutorial because it's like incredibly basic to begin with, and you go, oh, this is simple, and then it goes, right, now here's something difficult, but you absolutely can do this. Because you've already learned everything you need to know, you're just going to have to tune your thinking a little bit further. And it doesn't really hold your hand with anything. And it like encourages you to come up with the most efficient way of doing things and all this. And it's just mind-bogglingly clever, whilst also being incredibly educational. Because this is literally how I learned how to program, was to do very basic stuff with very simple things, and then it slowly builds on top of it, and you have to start working things out. It's beautiful. It's a really smart game.
The first time you hit a bit of a hurdle, really, is the jump command, when it says, like, and it doesn't actually tell you what it is or what it does, and it goes, it's not jump, by the way, but just look at it. And then you can kind of highlight the text, and it does give a basic explanation of what it does. And the idea is it allows you to repeat. So you put like a loop into the code, essentially. So if they need to walk forward like 8 steps, you don't want to drag walk forward 1 step, walk forward 1 step, and keep dragging them again and again 8 times into the queue. You can put a jump command in after you've just dragged one, walk 1 step. Then you put a jump command in and loop it back just before that walk 1 step command. So that when it hits it, it'll loop back, jump 1 space, hit the jump command, move back, walk 1 space, hit the jump command, and just loops round and round and round till you hit your destination. And then when it becomes the if kind of command, where you're having to put in this like equal to, greater than, lesser than. So if there is a block next to you which has got an object on it, to the right, pick it up. If there is not a block next to you on the right with an object on it, then go left and there'll be one there. And then you can get suddenly like 8 or 10 people all walking in different directions, but they're all receiving commands from the same place, the same kind of tree. And yeah, really rewarding in terms of, oh, I did a clever thing then. That was good. I figured out the clever puzzle and I'm smart. And that's the good puzzle game thing. And it's got that lovely like Little Inferno satirical thing going on as well. They've got their gentle satire, which actually works, because some of it can be, some satire stuff is very clumsy and heavy-handed. And while this is, you know, plenty on the nose, it's not subtle. It is handled nicely. Even just the intro is quite cute and well delivered, and it gives that sense of just everybody losing their jobs to a machine and being like, but I could, can I just have a job? No, you don't want a job. Let the robots will take over. Big thumbs up from me so far. I've only done about like an hour of it, but I think we're going to do some more. So 7 billion humans is the name of that one. I would like to know how much it costs.
I think it's $5, £5.
Okay, all right then. So it's iPads and iPhones for this one. But I'm going to do a video of it, so you can go and have a look at it before you put the cash out. I don't know if this is an iOS-only thing or whether this is a port.
I believe it's a port from a PC title.
That would make sense, because the only issue I had... You can hear me typing in the background to find out. It is on Steam. And yep. It's got 9 out of 10 and people love it. It's 15 quid on Steam, so you're getting the same game for a third of the price. That's nice. But the thing that I would criticize slightly is dragging the commands into the column can be a little bit fiddly.
Yes. Yeah,
with,
I agree.
With your big fingers. So that's the only thing where it feels like, I can see this was on a proper computer screen at one point, and, you know, they've had to compromise slightly. I'm sure the text is a little bit bigger, but I could still do with it being a little bigger still. But cracking stuff, nicely done. I would highly recommend going and having a look at it. 7 billion humans is the name of that one. Now, I've dabbled with a few other things. So The Butterfly's Dream, I've had a quick go on. This made me think, I don't know about you, you haven't done this one, right?
No.
So this is a sort of point-and-click adventure, but the thing it reminds me most of is Year Walk, the game from Sumogo.
Right, okay.
Only without the horror aspect to it. So it is a puzzler that plays out sort of from a first-person perspective, and you drag the screen left and right, as if you're strafing, as if you're shuffling left and right while still looking forward through the environment. So you might be standing in a room and you can just kind of drag the entire panorama left or right. And then if you drag yourself in front of a door, you can, an arrow will appear and you can push forward. And the entire world will kind of, I guess, push backwards if you like. So, you know, it feels like you're stationary, but the world is moving past your head. And then you step out into another line and it's like parallax scrolling. It's like you're moving between the layers of parallax scrolling, which is, people probably know what it is, but it's an 8-bit, 16-bit thing where they made backgrounds look like they were moving by having about 10 layers where the layer closest to the screen or to you would move faster and every layer would move a little bit slower, and it gives the illusion that you're zooming past the background. It's that, and you're kind of stepping between the different layers and then scrubbing left and right. But the game itself, it's kind of set in, I think it's set in Japan, and you are uncovering little environmental puzzles and trying to solve them. And it's, I've only played it for about half an hour or so. It's being deliberately oblique. It's not telling you very much. It's classic video game cliche. You wake up with amnesia and don't know why you're here when you're trying to unravel a mystery. It's free to download. I don't know where the money kicks in.
I think the first chapter's free. It's one of those pay to unlock the whole thing.
All right then. I wasn't immediately blown away. I like this kind of stuff, generally speaking. I love the Sumogo games, and I think Earwalk is awesome. I wasn't immediately won over by the art style or the two or three puzzles that I've completed. But I don't think I've played enough to really give it a proper judgment. So you can download the first chapter now. If you like your puzzles, point and clicks, that sort of thing, maybe worth a look. The Butterfly's Dream is the name there. What's the other thing that we've played? Oh, yeah, Twinfold. I had to go on Twinfold. You play this?
I did. I'm not really sure about it. I sort of envisioned it myself as like Threes, but Pac-Man, I guess.
It's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
So you're swiping around, and every time you've got your character, and then you've got numbered other characters in there. And when you swipe, everything moves. And then your goal is to try and smush the other characters together so that their numbers go up and you get more points for eating them. And then you have to smush yourself into them to eat them. And then there's also enemies which get moved when you move, but then they move an extra turn afterwards and can do damage to you. You have to avoid smushing yourself into a wall because that does damage to you. And you just, I believe it's endless. Like, you just start over again and keep going.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I didn't get very far because I was terrible at it. As a concept, that's really exciting because it's a really clever way of doing things. And every time you eat all the numbers on a stage, the stage then completely changes. And like you end up with a new set of walls that you have to navigate around and avoid the enemies, and new enemies spawn in every certain set of moves and stuff like that. So it's a really interesting idea, and I love like the concept behind it. I just found it really difficult from the start. Like,
right.
It sort of throws you in and you get the basic idea, and then there's literally a message that comes up and says, there's probably more that I could tutorialize, but I can't be bothered to have fun. And I'm like, yeah, sure, fair enough. But then I just got really stuck and instantly failed. And I was like, and I got stuck in a loop as well, where no matter where I moved, I was getting attacked by the enemy, and I just died because I got stuck, like trapped. And I don't know where I went wrong, and I feel stupid and bad about doing that. So I just kind of... It's a really interesting concept and an idea, but I just found it really frustrating. I don't know how you got on with it.
I think I liked it slightly more than you, but it wasn't something that made me want to come back to it immediately.
Right.
It's very simple art style, and yes, I thought the same thing about Threes and Pac-Man, and I like the fact that whenever you smush one of your... And they're not enemies, really. When you collect, I suppose, double up one of the little cubes, the entire maze dissolves and then rebuilds itself. So every time the environment's constantly switching around you, so you have to keep changing your plans and reacting and thinking. So that's good. I think it's quite engaging in that sense. But after playing it for a bit, I wasn't like, oh, I want to play 10 hours of this. So, but I don't know. Maybe that's just, it's just a taste thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's, I got to imagine it's free.
It is £3 or $3.
Oh.
So it is a premium game.
Okay.
But it, yeah, like it feels like it should be free to play.
That might be a bit of an ask. All right. Well, I, again, didn't play it for days or anything, so take it with a pinch of salt. But yeah, wasn't super hooked. Now, another thing that we're going to mention, I haven't played this one at all. I don't think either of us has, but Rebel Inc. came out, which I glossed straight past. We've had so many people copying Plague Inc. and just making a game with Inc. at the end of it to kind of get some SEO grab. And then I looked at it, and this is actually endemic. This is actually kind of a spiritual successor to Plague Inc., only instead of dealing with viruses taking over the entire world, this is like an insurgency simulator, as it calls itself. So just looking at it, because I haven't played it yet, it's using a lot of the same iconography and presumably the same kind of commands as Plague Inc., where you're having to, you know, control different areas and deal with outbreaks, or in this case, you know, outbreaks of violence rather than disease. The funny thing about Plague Inc. was you were trying to wipe out the globe. This one, I don't know if you're... I think you're trying to stop the insurgents. I think you are the dudes in command trying to prevent there from being an outbreak rather than you being the rebels. So you're stabilizing the area rather than trying to take it over.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an inverse Plague Inc., I guess. But I haven't played it. I don't know. It's got a lot of love on the App Store. It's £1.99, $1.99. It's already number two in the charts, and it's got a very, very high rating. People are loving it and saying that it's like, it is that Plague Inc. formula, but moved to a different area, and it works very well. We're going to have to give it a go before we can offer our opinion, but Rebel Inc. is the name, and that is also out right now. Okay, I think that pretty much covers us for the week. So what we'll be doing is we will be back again next week. We are drawing ever closer to that lovely festive period where we won't be working for a week or two, which is very nice. But we're going to try and smash in as much possible hashtag content as we can between here and there. So do come back and join us again next week. Like, subscribe, rate, review, and other annoying things that people in podcasts ask you to do. And I hope to see you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.